So if you turn to Matthew chapter 13, let's just start verse 1, and we're going to go down to verse 9, okay? Are you with me? You ready? Ready? Okay. That day Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea, and large crowds gathered to him. So he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd was standing on the beach. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and snatched them up," or ate them up. "And others fell on the rocky places where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." Say that with me. He who has ears, let him hear. In fact, that's a good prayer, is to pray, "God, open up my ears that I might hear, in my spiritual eyes that we might see." And I prayed that for you this morning, right? And so this morning I want to talk to you about this parable. There's a lot of things that's taking place within this that literally will help you and I as we go through our journey, spiritual journey, in our Christian walk. If we will grab a hold of these, it will literally cause you to multiply greatly in your spiritual walk. When we first take a look at this, and this is pretty familiar, right? I mean, every one of you could probably, maybe not quote it word for word, but you could spell back this particular parable quite accurately. And how many of you in here know that you're a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? And so you've received something from the kingdom of God, and you've responded to that, right? And so with that, maybe you've had the idea, just like I, that I'm a pretty good hearer. Pretty good soil, right? No? Well, come on. You got to participate, remember? It's Pastor Sonny up here, not Lance. So how many of you really consider yourselves to be good soil? Come on, be honest. If you consider yourselves to be good soil. Okay. Maybe that concept or that understanding will change before the end of the service. And I don't mean that to bring condemnation, but to bring conviction. But in order to truly understand, we've got to dissect this. Okay? So are you ready? Thank you. Okay, so we got one. Remember, you got to help. Okay, so what's taking place here? Jesus calls this the parable of the sower. And but at the same time, when you stop and think about it, what is the sower? Yeah, it's one that's planting the seed. Okay, and in this instance, in this case, we're seeing that Jesus is the one that's sowing. He's sowing the seed, and he's saying there's going to be different responses to this. And it's important that you understand the responses and why the responses are taking place in individuals. And so the sower here is Jesus, but the sower could be anyone that's planting seed, right? And what's the purpose of planting seed, Mr. Farmer? You want to reap a harvest, right? You want increase. You plant one seed and you don't expect just to get one seed back. If you're planting corn, you plant one seed of corn and hopefully that will sprout up and so forth, and then you'll have an ear, 2-3 years on a stalk, and how many seeds would you expect to get from that? Yeah. Yeah, okay. So that's pretty good return, isn't it? On some corn, that's true. There you go. There you go. There's a lot of dependencies. And this is actually what I'm trying to bring out. Thank you very much. He bit into that. And so we have the sower, and he's sowing on different soils. Okay? And we're already familiar with this particular passage, and so we already know that not everybody's going to get it. Right? That not all of that seed is going to produce. But one thing is constant is the sower. He's sowing the seed. Okay, what's the seed? The word, you got to go much deeper. Jesus is far more specific than that. What did he tell you? We read it. Well, let's just go ahead into verse 11. This will help you. And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" Jesus answered, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted." Okay, so the seed that he's sowing is mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. If you take a look at verse 19, what does it say? And when anyone hears the word of the kingdom... The word of the kingdom, okay? So we're talking about kingdom principles. We're talking about mysteries. And you notice there, verse 11? In verse 11, that the word mystery is plural. It's mysteries of the kingdom. There's only one kingdom of heaven. That's what he's talking about. But what Jesus is getting across is there's a lot of mysteries about the kingdom of heaven. Would you agree with me on that? Well, okay, well, thank you. I was hoping you'd at least agree with Jesus. That's the next step I was going to go with. Okay? And so what he's saying, there's a lot of things to know and understand about the kingdom, and it's not just for everybody to understand this. But I've got good news for you. If you're a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have that element of faith. You've already exercised it. You've already heard one of the mysteries of the kingdom, and that is that Jesus Christ and Him alone provided salvation for you and I. It's by His blood, by His death, by His burial, by His resurrection that you and I are able to have life and have it abundantly in Him. That's a mystery of the kingdom. Are you with me? No longer do we have to sacrifice to try to cover up sin. No, we confess it, we recognize, we judge ourselves being guilty, and we receive His salvation and Him alone. Right? That's a mystery. And because you've stepped into that mystery, then you have the right to understand the rest of the mysteries of the kingdom. Now, Jesus really intended for everyone to know the mysteries of the kingdom. The scripture tells us that, right? Tells us that His desire, God's desire, is that all would come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? But don't you know that not everybody's going to receive that? Not everybody's going to understand. Not everybody's going to buy into that mystery for different reasons. But you have the ability to receive the other mysteries and understand them, the other mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. So, the sowing is the same. The sower sowing good seed. The seed is the mysteries of the kingdom, but the soil is different. Here he's giving us examples of four different soils. Four different soils. So back to verse 10. And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And Jesus answered them, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven." Say, thank God. I'm allowed in that group. And I can receive and understand the mysteries of heaven. To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, say, I have, to him more what shall be given. No, you don't have to repeat the rest of that. But thank you anyway. That's a very supportive woman right there. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. Say abundance. For whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. You might think, well, that's pretty cruel. And this parallels with another parable that Jesus taught, and that was the parable of talents. Remember that? And talents were given to different individuals according to their ability. Even the one that just received the one talent and then was afraid of the master and went and hid it, literally had the ability to take that one talent and cause it to multiply. After all, the purpose of receiving the seed is to do what? To multiply. Okay. I will say this, but realize I'm saying this out of love. Okay? I want you to understand this. There are those that really come strong and hard against those that preach a prosperity gospel. The gospel has got to be prosperous. That's what Jesus is even talking about here, about planting seed. We just don't get something and then that's it, and we just hold it and try to survive through life with that. No, we take what we receive and we cause it to multiply in our lives. Now, a lot of people, because of certain ones, may go about and teach it a little bit convoluted, polluted, whatever, brings a bad name. But listen, the gospel is meant to increase. The gospel was meant to increase in your life. The mysteries of the kingdom are meant to cause your life to explode, to multiply, to produce, not only in your own life with joy and all of the fruits of the Spirit, but also to literally cause individuals around you to prosper and benefit from the fact that you know and understand principles of the kingdom. Hello? We're the ones to be bringing peace upon the earth. We are the light of the world. Why? Because Christ is in us. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the light of the world. Amen? And so you and I need to be prosperous in demonstrating and manifesting kingdom principles. Hello? Yeah. That's what prosperity of the gospel really is. Hello? Okay, are you still good? Are you okay? Still love me? Okay. But now we got to deal with the soil thing. Because we want to be prosperous, don't we? We want to produce a good crop with the seed that's been given to us. We've been entrusted with something extremely valuable whenever we receive the seed of a mystery of the kingdom of God. That's a good place for an amen right there. That was pretty good, Pastor. Okay, come on. You want to beat the Baptist, right? To lunch? Okay. Lord help me. So let's take a look at verse 12 again. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance, but whoever does not have, even what he has, shall be taken away from him. We will get into that a little bit more when we move on. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because while seeing, they do not see, and while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. So, in being able to really grasp a hold of what Jesus is teaching, there's three dynamics taking place. There's the dynamics of seeing, the dynamics of hearing, and also the dynamics of understanding what you've seen and heard. Okay? Here's the problem with Christianity, is that most people see with their eyes, physical eyes, they hear with their physical ears, and then they try to understand everything with their physical mind. But listen to what else Jesus says. Verse 14. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the what? The heart of the people has become dull. How many times I have heard, I don't know, where, Pastor, I just can't wrap my mind around it. You're not supposed to wrap your mind around it. You see spiritual things with your spiritual eyes, you hear spiritual things with your spiritual ears, and you understand it with the heart. Faith has to be in the heart. Then you train your mind. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by what? By renewing the mind. How do you renew the mind? From the heart. And so what Jesus is talking about here is heart issues. And so the different soils, is what he's talking about, is literally the different hearts and the way that you receive certain kingdom mysteries and how you respond to that, how you react to that. Are you with me so far? Okay. So thank God. Say with me. Thank God. You have given me a heart that is soft and is able to understand. May I be a good steward. Amen. Verse 15. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears, they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their what? Heart, and return, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, blessed because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and hear what you hear and did not hear it. And if they, who were there with Christ himself receiving those teachings, were blessed beyond those even from the Old Testament, how much more are you? Because you have the Holy Spirit within you to help you to understand, to help you to grasp a hold of these mysteries. I was just sharing with Pastor Linwood this morning before services started that God is releasing revelation beyond all means. I have never seen revelation being released like it is right now for the kingdom of God. And he said, well, isn't that the way it's supposed to be in the end time? And I said, yes, that's true, it is. But there's so much more that I know now that I wish I had known this when I started ministry some 40, 50 years ago. Okay, I'm not going to go there. That's another message. Whoa. Holy Spirit, keep me on track. Okay. Let me see, make sure I've got my introduction. Okay, yeah, I think we're ready to go on. So we have two constants, right? The two constants, which are what? The sower, the second constant, the seed, and the variable is the soil. Okay, now, we're going to jump in verse 18. It says, "Hear then the parable of the sower." Now, what is he getting ready to do? He's getting ready to explain this. Very few of the parables did he actually explain. He explained this one, and he explained the tares. But most of the parables he did not explain. But the reason why he's explaining this is extremely important, because if you don't get this parable, if you don't understand this concept, if you don't understand this particular mystery of the kingdom, then you'll miss everything else. That's the reason why he puts so much emphasis upon this. In fact, the three synoptic gospels have recorded this. It's so important. Are you with me? Okay, now I have given you each a card. Everybody have a card, right? Okay, I want you to pay attention to the black number. Now, some of your cards may have a green number on one side. Right now, don't pay any attention to that. The black number, okay? 1 through 4. Why? Why 1 through 4? 4 types of soil. That's the variable, okay? And so, if you would, if you can, now not all of you can, and that's okay, you can remain seated, but whenever I make reference to you, I want you to raise your hand. Okay, so if you're able, please stand. Yeah, everybody, if you can. If you have a card, 1 through 4, please stand. How's that? Okay. So now let's take a look at the soils. Okay, Pastor, can you take a look around? You see everybody's standing, right? Everybody's standing. Okay, good. All right, yes. So it says, verse 19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom, and that means a message, the message of a kingdom, message of the kingdom, and does not understand it, now he's going to explain why they don't understand. Why soil number one does not receive the message, does not receive it and then understand what's taking place. Here's the reason why. He says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road. So, number one, did you receive the word? Yeah, you received the message, right? In fact, all of you received the message. Okay, so what makes number one different? What makes this first soil different that they did not understand? I think what he's trying to get across, remember, the issue is what? An issue of the heart. The issue of the heart. You all have the ability to understand. You all have the ability to. In fact, everybody in the world has the ability to understand salvation. Are you with me? Scripture is clear on that. But not everybody receives it. And so what he is saying is, then we must be aware of how we receive the word. Remember, I've told you over and over again, as well as Pastor Lance, is that he and I and those that are behind the pulpit are responsible for the word that we give, but you're responsible for what you hear. And therefore, whenever we present something to you from Scripture, you're obligated to take that and search it out when you get home. Huh? Yeah, where's the heart at? And so, those, for that first soil, they received the word. It was given to them. They had the opportunity, but they didn't take that opportunity. And so, they didn't grab it. They didn't grasp a hold of it. It says that they didn't understand it. And because they didn't understand it, then just immediately the enemy, Satan himself, we do have an enemy, right? Comes and snatches that word, and now you don't even have it to do anything with it. So what you did have, you've lost. Are you hearing me? So how can we make sure that we're not number one? Okay, I'm glad you asked that. How many of you take notes? Yeah. Those of you that are note takers, I guarantee you that you're at least a four. Even when if you're taking notes, listen to me. This is the reason why it's so important. The reason why we encourage you. Even if you receive a word and you don't understand it, but you've taken notes, at least you have it now written down. You don't have to rely on the memory to search it out. And so when you get home, you take, yeah, Pastor Lance said this, or Pastor Sonny said this, and so I don't understand that, but I'm going to get my Bible, I'm going to get some other sources and begin to look through and search it out. Then if I still don't understand it, I'm going to call him up and say, what did you mean about this? Are you with me? That protects you from being number one. And so if you have number one, sit down. Now, I do want you to realize that because you had number one on your card and you had to sit down doesn't necessarily mean that you are number one. This is for demonstration purposes. There's still hope for you. Goes back to the talents. Remember the one that just received the one talent? He had the ability to manage that and steward that talent well, but he didn't. He refused. He buried it. He lost it. Each and every one of us is given opportunities to understand kingdom mysteries. But if we don't do something with it, if we don't cultivate it, if we don't cherish it, then we lose it. How much do you treasure the Word of God? How much do you treasure the mysteries of God? Next verse. Verse 20. The one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet, he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. Okay. So soil number two, a little bit different, right? In fact, this person, male or female, this man, male or female, receives the word, and they receive with joy. Oh my word, that's a good word, Pastor. Praise God, I love that word. And then they get home, and now what did he say? How many of you remember what Pastor Lance preached on last week? I mean, be serious. I mean, yeah, I can tell you what it was and what's good. Okay, yeah, a few of you, and you should. You should. But it's amazing, most of us don't. And yet we hear the word, and when we hear it, oh my word, that's exciting. That pumps us up, right? And we get all excited and so forth. And the fact that says that this individual was joyful about it. received the word, and he was joyful. There was joy rising up within him, and that is one of the fruits, right? That's one of the manifestations of receiving the mysteries. And so he was joyfully received the word, but then later forgot all about it. Why? He didn't treasure it. It was a good word, but he didn't treasure it. It wasn't that important to him. He didn't take the notes. He didn't discuss it with his spouse or with a friend. So how do we change that? Yeah, back to note-taking, but also meditating upon the word. Your word have I hid in my heart that I may know what? Sin against you. In other words, we meditate on it. We chew it on like the cow's cud, and we chew it and spit it up and re-chew it and back and forth until we get all of the juices out of that. And then it becomes... We take and apply it. We hear that often, right? We apply it to our lives. We make it alive. We make it real in our own lives. Okay? But number two, you didn't do that, so sit down. I'm not done with two. Because look at verse 21 again. And yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. Okay. So that gives us a clue here how to get over the number two. That is that we need to already be in the Word. How many of you have read your Bible at least four times a week? At least four. How many? Five times. Every day. Awesome. Awesome. You have a foundation already. You have a fertile soil to be able to receive the Word. You have the ability to receive the mysteries of God and to understand them because you have a deep soil within you by reading the Word, preparing. Many times we talked about preparing ourselves before we come to service. We worship at home. We learn to be able to enter into worship and praise because no matter where we're at, He's still worthy, right? And so when we come into the worship service, when we come in together collectively, we're already in an attitude of worship and we're able to automatically just enter in. And there was something about the Spirit this morning that we were just... It was easy entering into worship, wasn't it? What did you feel it? I did. I thought it was awesome. And it was, yeah, our team does a great job. But the thing of it is, you were prepared and ready to enter in. That's the secret. Amen? Okay, and so listen, but there's more. Pastor Lance already got on to touch this already this morning. He was preaching my message. And so back to verse 21, let's take a look at the rest of that. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. Well, I thought everything was going to be hunky-dory when I became a Christian. No. The more you receive and understand the mysteries of the kingdom, the more the enemy wants to drag you down and wants to attack you. Are you hearing me? And so that's the reason why it's so important to stay close to Jesus. Right, brother? Amen. 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 Okay, twos, you've already sat down, right? All right, let's take a look at number 3, verse 22. Listen to this. And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Okay? Did soil number 3 receive the word? Yes, they did. But what was the problem? Cares of the world and also deceit. Now, so what does this look like, though, in your life and my life? Yeah, absolutely. Business, that's good. That's good. It says that they receive the word, and it's beginning to sprout up. It's starting to produce, but then it gets smothered out. And the first one was what? First reason? And when the worry of the world, okay? The thorns are both of these, but the first one is the worry of the world. The worry of the world. So what does that look like? Worry of the world. If you're a man pleaser, you're on the wrong. You're number 3. You see, I want you to love me. I like it when you like me. I really do. I want you to like me. But my spirituality and my walk with the Lord Jesus Christ is not dependent upon whether you like me or not. Because when it comes to Him, I really don't give a flip what you think about me. What I really care about is what does the Lord Jesus Christ think about me? I've got to please Him. I can't please you. I can please some of you part of the time, and I can please none of you all of the time. But my aim and my goal in life is to please Him and to live my life in a way that brings Him honor and glory. So I'm not worried about what you think about me. I do want you to love me. I do. I like it when you like me. I do. Do you like it when they love you, Pastor? Yeah. But are you going to really worry about whether I like you or not when it comes to your walk in the Lord? Not really. And yes, and sometimes whenever those are deflected away from us, it hurts. And we see people rise up and then begin to ridicule us and so forth. And I can remember whenever I first started my Christian walk with the Lord. I mean, I was all in. I'm going hot and heavy with the Lord Jesus Christ and family members. Well, you're kind of going overboard on this Jesus thing, aren't you? You're consumed with this. Duh. Huh? Holy roller. Yeah, I heard that too. I bet you have. That's the reason why you said that. Absolutely. But you can say those things, but it's not going to change my direction. It's not going to change my relationship with Him. Because my relationship with Him is not dependent upon whether you like it or not. And so I'm not worried about the world. In fact, the Scripture tells us that if we are literally living all out for the Lord Jesus Christ, the world is going to hate you. Jesus even gave that warning. They hate me. They're going to hate you because of me. And if they're not hating you because of Jesus, then you need to look at your life. Just saying. And then the other one is the deception of wealth. The deception of wealth. The gospel is to be a prosperous gospel. Listen, I've known a lot of Jews in my life, and every one of them are extremely prosperous. Materialistically, financially. We met some on the boat. The scriptures, even the Old Testament, didn't God say, if you'll do this, and if you'll do this, if you do this, I'll bless you. I'll bless you in your coming in and your going out. I'll bless you to the point that your barns are so full. I will bless you. Your bread baskets will be full. I will bless you. Your children will multiply. Your animals and livestock will multiply. I will bless you. I will bless you. I will bless you. What is that? That's prosperity. Well, you guys are getting awful quiet. That would have been a good place to do a little jig. Yeah, I need that. But it's the deception of wealth. And what does he mean by that? You see, there's no problem having wealth. The problem is being deceived by it. And what can be deceiving about wealth? First of all, there are those that will teach and preach, which I've already alluded to, that's not godly. That's not the proper. You know, you shouldn't be. You should have money. That's a lie. After all, it does take money to operate in this world, right? Hello? Yeah, it does. But Scripture is quite plain. In fact, the Scripture says that we are to work so that we would have an abundance, so that we're not in need, but so that we have to give to those that are. Where the deception comes in is we have a false security in having a big bank account. A false security. Now we're no longer dependent upon God to supply our needs. We're no longer, our hearts become waned in relationship with the Lord, and we become dependent upon the wealth that we have developed. And there are those that get to the point where, you know what, I don't really need God. I've already got it all. I've got this figured out. Amen? It's deception. It's deception. But God intended for you to be wealthy. After all, He owns everything. And you're His child. And the Scripture says that you and I lack nothing. When it comes to life and spirituality, we lack nothing. Amen? Amen. So three, did you sit down? Okay, three, sit down. You got choked out. So, take a look. These are the fours that are left standing. Did you notice the percentage? This is pretty accurate. This is what Jesus is trying to get across. Pastor, I want you to seriously take a look around and get a feel for this, because this is very important in your ministry from here on out. What Jesus is saying is that about a fourth is going to get it. And so those that have number four, you represent that group that, yeah, I really get this. I get it. I understand it. I'm applying it to my life. I'm causing increase in my life and an increase in the kingdom of God because I do understand it. I treasure those mysteries, and I've placed them in my heart, and I've guarded them, and not only that, but then I've exercised that. I put it to, I, I, I contemplated, how can I make that work in my life? Are you with me? Yeah. Now, we're not done yet, though. Okay, fours. If you will notice, you have a green number on the back of your card. And I want you to pay attention to that. So out of the fours, listen to what he says. And the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So what he is saying is that not even out of those four, that really good soil, there are those that will be able to take that mystery, and cause 100-fold produce increase. Some 60 and some 30. I want you to know all of that's good. We're in number four. We're producing, right? Are you with me? So why is it that some, though, out of that really gets it, that just literally gets it, some are able to produce 100-fold, some only 60, and some only 30? Do what? Okay, it is an issue of the heart, but this heart is pretty good. It's rich soil. But there are some other things, though, that affect us. And Scripture talks to us about this. In fact, Paul made a comment, and this will help you maybe understand that. He said, you know what, if you're single, it'd really be good if you remain single, because nothing wrong with getting married, but he said, but one of the things, though, that you're going to understand is that when you get married, now your life is divided, and you can't be 100% sold out to the Lord and produce, because now your attention's also going to be drawn and you're going to have to take care of your wife. Do you get it? Yeah. Seeing nothing wrong with that. He just wants you to realize that now you have other responsibilities as well, and that those are good responsibilities. But you're not going to be able to be totally 100% sold out, because you have other responsibilities. So if you have a number three, no, let's do it the other way around. If you have a number one, then you sit down. The green number one. Other things might interfere. We get children and so forth, but also, career-wise, some of us have other careers. We're some farmers, and I laid carpet and sold furniture for years and did a lot of other things. And most of my ministry time was not full-time ministry. Most of it has been, or at least half of it, had been what we call bivocational. And nothing wrong with that. Oh, my word, don't ever hear me say this, because I don't say it. I have all respect for those that are bivocational. Man, we need them. In fact, I have more respect for those that are bivocational pastors than I do for those that are full-time. I really do. And I'm not going to get into all the whys and so forth. But listen, whenever you're engaged, though, in other things in this world and so forth, you're not able to give a full 100% to the Lord like those that don't have a care in the world. And so if you're a number two, you can sit down. Now, Pastor, take a look. You see those that are standing. This represents the group that gets it 100%. I mean, they're all sold out. Regardless, nothing's going to shake them up. Nothing's going to move them. Nothing's going to get in their way between them and their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They're grasping a hold of every single concept and they're growing in it, and they're causing the kingdom to expand, to literally explode, because they have that freedom. Amen? Amen. You may sit down. Now, let me ask you, and you don't have to, I don't want you to answer. I don't want you to manifest your answer. I just want you to think about this. So now, would you rate yourself, oh yeah, I'm still a four. Or maybe you found yourself somewhere else. It's time to reflect, isn't it? I need three chairs. And I'm going to close with this. I need three chairs. Thank you. Here we go. Okay, we're good. That's good. Yeah, you could have left that fourth one up here. That's fine. But anyway, you're good. You're good. You're good. Okay. Hopefully this will drive the nail in the coffin. No, we don't want to do that. Hopefully this will get at least one of the wheels down on the runway. Okay, remember we had two consonants, right? Remember what they were? The first consonant was what? The sower. The sower is always consonant. That is the individual that is sowing or teaching the mysteries of the kingdom, which is the second consonant. It's the seed. And then the variable is the soil that receives it. So what is that, and how does that look like and played out in our lives through the years? These chairs represent me. Okay, maybe you're representing you as well, but it represents me. And this first chair was the seed I received was about the kingdom of God, was that Christ died for me. And without him, I was lost. Without him, I had no hope. But I gave my life to him and called upon his name. And he literally came and lived and still living within me. And this seat to me was the Baptist. Some of you have heard me repent, and I've got to repent again, openly. Because I did grow up Baptist. And I'm not ashamed of it. In fact, I'm quite proud of it, because one of the things about the Baptists is they sure gave me a good understanding of salvation. So anytime I've made fun of them, I'm repenting before you today. That was wrong. The Baptists are precious people. And they're my brothers and sisters in Christ. But after being a Baptist for some time, I realized that something's wrong here, God. I'm not seeing you move in the power like your word says. I don't see the Jesus at church that I see in the Gospels. I don't see the healing. I don't see the miracles. I don't see the power. But God, if there's something about them Pentecostals, if what they say is really true about the Holy Spirit, if that's really of you, I want that. I want that. And so I began to seek out another mystery of the kingdom of God. And receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Radically changed my life. Salvation. radically changed my life from a drug addict, a weekend alcoholic, one that had no hope, to now has hope and life. Now, not only do I have hope and life, but I have the power of the Holy Spirit within me. And it opened up to be able to understand greater mysteries of the kingdom of God. And so then I was able to move to the next chair, and to the next chair, and the next chair. And what is that? That is some mysteries that God has given me that would cause your head literally to spin. And I don't say that to be bragging. Listen, it's been my life mission to search these things out. And some of you know that lately I have been studying a lot of physics and frequencies and vibrations and studying quantum physics. And the scripture is full of this. And it's mysteries to the kingdom of God. And understanding how it operates in the physical realm helps to understand and know and understand how it operates in the spirit realm. And so things like that we take for granted, things that you speak will change your tomorrow. It's true. It gives a greater understanding. By understanding quantum entanglement, gives me a greater understanding of knowing that I cannot allow sin in my life, because if I allow sin in my life, whether it's things that I look at on the tablet or my phone, or whether it's something I read or something on the internet, whatever it is, that I shouldn't be, it doesn't just affect me because I am entangled with my wife. It affects her. And not only does it affect her, but it affects each and every one of you. It affects the whole body of Christ. Do you see what I'm saying? Because we are family. We're entangled. There's something about that. Listen, when Christ came into your life, his spiritual DNA was released within you, and you were entangled through spiritualness with him. And I could go on and list other things that's going on, but those are the things that God has given me. I'm just now beginning to understand. But even 2 years ago, I could not have understood a lot of that. But especially not here. But because I was faithful in stewarding the mystery that God gave me here, then he was allowing me to receive a greater revelation here. And because I steward that well, now he's allowing me to go here. He who has, more will be given. But he who has not, even what he does have, will be taken away. Just how rich is your soil? How rich is your soil?